Well, we continue our sermon series, Wisdom and Wickets, where we're looking at spiritual practices that God calls us to that will keep us from allowing our lives to enter the weeds. This week, we are talking about forgiveness. Forgiveness, it's messy. My journey of studying the practice of forgiveness began actually in seminary with a class called Confessions and Forgiveness. They say the process of seminary is really the process of teaching you how much you do not understand about God. And this was one of the main practices for me of that. We studied forgiveness from every angle for a whole semester. Forgiveness of self, forgiveness of others, with or without others' repentance, and even corporate forgiveness. We did everything from actually sharing personal experiences to looking at scripture, everything that Jesus says about forgiveness. We even took a field trip to the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C. as research for a paper on whether or not whole countries could be forgiven for their sin, and if so, by whom? Universally, as practicing Christians, we struggle to match our theology and our personal experience when it comes to forgiveness. To not force ourselves to be emotionally in a place to forgive when we are not. To not allow ourselves to be taken advantage of and put ourselves in a situation of abuse because we let things go too easily. Or even to not forgive ourselves for things we have done that have already been forgiven and let go. Practicing forgiveness is an important part of our life, and it can become a sticky wicket, trapping us in unhealthy patterns if we are not careful. In Luke's gospel, we find instruction from Jesus, beautifully articulated, while Jesus had dinner at a Pharisee's home. In our story, we will look at the practice of forgiveness from all of these different angles. But as we read this scripture, I want us to remember one really important thing. Forgiveness is a practice more than it is an event. We say often to each other, have you forgiven that person? Or have you forgiven that thing? And that makes sense. But it also makes it seem like forgiveness is a place where we eventually arrive once and for all. And then we wonder why we can't fully let go of something, right? Or a situation. We aren't always able to forgive once and move on because different seasons of life bring about different insight. And the practice of forgiveness gives us the opportunity to move through the process and arrive at authentic forgiveness once again. For this reason, we have to pay attention so that we don't get stuck in the weeds thinking forgiveness means once and done. I found this particularly true when it comes to really painful experiences that deserve the process to be repeated. To not only honor the pain, but to honor the repentance and the relationship that continues. The practice of forgiveness can build intimacy and depth of relationship because it is a real and authentic process. So here's the sentence you have to remember. Forgiveness is a practice, not an event. Everyone got it? Okay. Now we can read the scripture. Luke 7 is where we're reading from, beginning at verse 36. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. And a woman in the city who was a sinner, having learned that he was eating in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster jar of ointment. She stood behind Jesus at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with tears and to dry them with her hair. Then she continued kissing his feet and anointing them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw it, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what kind of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." Jesus spoke up and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you. Teacher, Simon replied, speak. A certain creditor had two debts, one owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debts for both of them. Now which of them will love him more? Simon answered, I suppose the one from whom he canceled the greater debt. And Jesus said to him, you have judged rightly. Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she bathed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You, Simon, did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which were many, have been forgiven. Hence, she has grown great love, but the one to whom little is forgiven loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. But those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Referencing this actual story in Luke's gospel, Barna did a study of forgiveness, and they studied practicing Christians, drawing out the correlation that Jesus talks about here between receiving forgiveness and extending forgiveness. Their survey of 2,000 plus people found this. 76% of practicing Christians feel they have offered unconditional, joyful forgiveness to another person who has either hurt or sinned against them or someone they love. They also found that just over half of practicing Christians, 55%, remember another person doing that for them, right? Being merciful to them in this way. With 38% who say that this kind of merciful forgiveness has not happened to them, and 7% didn't know. Barna concluded this from the data. Giving versus receiving unconditional forgiveness varies dramatically. While someone might feel that they have extended all of this unconditional forgiveness, the recipient of that forgiveness may not feel the same way or may not absorb forgiveness that has been extended to them. Their further data showed that not all Christians feel capable or ready to accept forgiveness, with 1 in 5 practicing Christians admitting they actually struggle with receiving forgiveness for something they've done. And 1 in 4 Christians saying that they have a difficult time forgiving someone or in their life, that they really just cannot forgive someone. 1 in 4 practicing Christians. In our scripture, Jesus calls out the connection between receiving forgiveness and extending love and forgiveness. And I think Jesus did it on purpose. We struggle in this way. Jesus says, I tell you, her sins, which were many, have been forgiven. Hence, she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little. We see the difficulty in this passage that we all have, in the Pharisee, right? The Pharisee who points the finger when someone does something that they don't approve of. Judging both Jesus and the woman, the religious leader concluded Jesus must not even be the Messiah because he is in close proximity to a sinful woman. Rebuking both Jesus and the woman, he thought that he had the right to put himself in the place of the judger of the whole situation. A further warning of this passage, a little side note that I'll call out, is to note in our scripture, he didn't even say this out loud. He just said it to himself, and then Jesus knew. I find that terrifying. Right? Sometimes we judge others without saying it out loud, but we're doing it. The conclusion that Jesus draws for us of the whole situation is that forgiveness and extending loving forgiveness are related. Receiving forgiveness and extending forgiveness are related. They are intertwined. Heed these words. The one to whom little is forgiven loves little. The one that does not absorb right? This Christ, this call stuck in the weeds. Yet that this whole scene is really vulnerable. The people who are present are being really vulnerable. The Pharisee, by having Jesus in his home, and his private thoughts being exposed, and this woman who has shown up to pour all of her love on to Jesus. It's a tangled mess of real human emotion and habits. And I love it because both Simon the Pharisee and the woman who is a repentant sinner are places where we can find our own story. If you are like me, you can relate to both of them. The judgment of others without feeling like forgiving, and the pain and real trouble of extending that forgiveness, the struggle and the heartache to forgive yourself or absorb another's forgiveness. It's all hard. And without careful attention and practice with forgiveness for ourselves and others, receiving forgiveness, we cause more suffering and more sadness and frustration in ourselves. Our scripture pushes us to consider forgiveness from every angle: forgiveness of ourselves, forgiveness of others, and how each of us may be impacted by whether or not we are able to practice receiving forgiveness for our own failures. The reason that I delineated between forgiving others and also forgiving others and receiving forgiveness, but also absorbing forgiveness, is that, forgiving ourselves and absorbing forgiveness, is that sometimes it's an internal process, but really that when you harm someone and they extend forgiveness and you don't absorb it, it's a whole nother level, right? It's a whole nother struggle than just if you're trying to let yourself off the hook for something you thought about. Am I making sense? Sort of. Okay, sort of. Okay. So in this tangled mess of how absorbing forgiveness, letting ourselves be forgiven, and extending forgiveness this week, I went to see the movie Just Mercy. Have any of you seen this movie? It's the story, Just Mercy is a story, it's a movie about a book that actually Bryan Stevenson wrote. He is an attorney who leads an organization called Equality Justice Initiative. And their entire focus is on providing legal assistance to people who are on death row, who have not received adequate counsel, because the book in the movie's claim is that 8 in 10 people on death row are innocent because they didn't have good legal representation. So this organization provides legal counsel to those people. So the movie is about a man who, Mr. William McMillan, who spent 30 years in prison on death row for a crime he did not commit. I don't know how everyone feels about the death penalty or the statistics. What really impacted me was how to practice forgiveness for 30 years of being on death row, like that trauma of it, right? How could God expose him at that time that imprisoned him, never recognized? And then last night I was talking with my husband Peter about my sermon. We were talking about the movie he asked me this question: who have you had to forgive when it's been really difficult? And we were sharing forgiveness. Using one of those exercise balls, you know, the big ones. I tried to find one in my house so I could do a full demonstration, but I don't have one. I didn't have one. And I was going to this Pilates class. I grabbed my exercise ball from the garage. I went to this class, and I was doing Pilates. I was doing the class, and we were doing squats on the ball where you just squat down, right, and you land on the ball. And after I did about 10 of them, the ball exploded, and it sounded like a shotgun, and everyone in the class, like, hit the floor. Apparently, when it was in the garage, it was cold, so it got really, like, tough, and then when I warmed it up, it exploded, and I can't explain to you the amount of fear that it enacted in me just trying to get a little, it was definitely a heart rate day. Lots of cardio in that experience. Here's what I have come to when it comes to forgiveness. If we do not practice forgiveness of ourselves and of others, we will explode. we get really constricted. It's hard to forgive. It's complicated to allow yourself to be forgiven. It's deeply personal, and even it might be impossible in certain circumstances. It might seem impossible. What Jesus says is practice anyway. For our health, for our connection to our God and to one another, sometimes for our own correction like the Pharisee, and sometimes for our own tenderness like the sinful woman. Practice forgiveness. And don't let yourself get caught up in the poisonous weeds. Just practice. Practice the process of it. You don't have to force yourself to a final event. You just absorb the practice. Practice forgiveness. Let's pray together. Loving and faithful God, I pray that the words of this scripture, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would pour over any places in us where we need your help practicing forgiveness. We pray for the tenderness and the pain and the vulnerability of all that we are carrying. And I ask, Lord Jesus, that you would simply be present with us as we practice, as we struggle, as we release. We love you. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, that we pray. Amen.